To our top story about modelling that shows that we could be facing 50,000 daily Omicron infections by early to mid-February. The National Party's health spokesman, Dr Shane Retty, is with us now. Kia ora.
Morena, Corinne. Good to speak with you.
You too. Now, what do you make of this modelling? Does it feel about right to you from what you're seeing?
Yes, it does. So the modelling's from the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation out of Washington, US, and they model Omicron outbreaks around the world. And their last modelling is quite recent for New Zealand, around about January 10th, and it's been reviewed and extrapolated for our needs by Baker and Wilson. So I think that the modelling is quite good. Fundamentally, what it shows is starting next month in February that the hospital system will be under high stress, 10 to 20% occupancy with coronavirus. That's the month of February. The month of March, peak hospitalizations will occur at around about 3,000. Month of April, peak deaths will occur at about 10 per day, cumulatively adding to about 400 by April. And if we drill into that hospital component, the area that's been the rate-limiting step for coronavirus to date has been intensive care. And this is a worrying story because what the modelling suggests is that the area of extreme stress for intensive care for us here in New Zealand will be round about the 2nd of March, where our ICU need will exceed our ICU capacity. And Baker and Wilson comment, actually, the modelling probably overestimates our ICU capacity. It may even be a more treacherous story than that. They also comment that our period of extreme ICU stress is going to be longer than Australia because we've got less ICU beds per capita. So it's really interesting modelling. As much as modelling has a lot of caveats, Baker and Wilson have looked at it and given it some validity, and it's something we need to turn our minds to.
Yeah, I mean, the Minister this morning was adamant that, yes, it'll be under stress, the health system, but the effort has been put in to bolster ICU with the surge capacity up over 500. Will that not be enough?
Oh, everyone says he's dreaming. If he thinks he's got 500 ICU beds, he is absolutely dreaming.
Well, that is the surge capacity.
Ask anyone, yeah, indeed, same thing. Ask anyone in the sector if they really think they've got surge capacity. I mean, before Christmas last year, Paul, the ICU specialist out of Capital Coast, said exactly that to the minister. If he's being advised that he has that sort of ICU capacity, he is dreaming, quote unquote. So I think that's wishful. I think if we look back, clearly we were underprepared. That's been and gone, done. What we need to be doing now is looking forward as to if we accept that we've underprepared the ICU sector, what are we going to do about it? And there's a number of things there. First of all, workforce shortage. Our ICU nurses have always been the choke point, the critical point in this discussion. And so we need to continue to look as to how we can relax our border, our immigration settings, to bring those important skills.
But they're not going to be able to arrive in time, are they? We need them right now. Right. So would you be calling back people who have perhaps left the profession, students?
Oh, second thing, let's talk about offshore first of all, so we can open those settings. Secondly, which is what you're talking about, those skills that are onshore. And just remember, there are a number of people who have passed their certification exams but who can't get the practical component to fully register. And I've been contacted by a number of ICU nurses, 6 or 7 years experience in the European environment, who just can't get that practical experience to fully register. So we need to figure that out. And then, as you're suggesting, those who may have left the profession, anaesthetists, for example, who might be able to come back. What we do know is that some of the changes that are being proposed are to increase the number of patients per nurse, per specialist, roughly 1 to 1, 1 to 2 at the moment, looking at increasing that to maybe 1 to 3, 1 to 4. You know, the more we go down this path, the greater the risk, of course. Hubbing ICU patients so that you're actually looking after, or you've got visibility of 3 or 4 instead of 1 or 2 in any one hub. And then what's also happening is that ICU patients are being managed on the wards. And that's being done with the skills of respiratory specialists particularly, and using things like a BPAP, CPAP, Evo, which are units which aren't ventilation units, but sort of the next next step down from being fully ventilated. Now, that works in large centres where you've got respiratory specialists with the skills to manage ventilation. Some of these smaller DHBs, like West Coast, for example, they won't have that skill set, and it's a much more challenging proposition to say you just manage them on the ward.
Okay, so those are all the measures that you believe were necessary to try and deal with a surge in the hospitals. Let's hope it doesn't get as bad as the models suggest, and that there are the mitigation measures that have been put in place, the red light, the masking, the boosters will limit that. A lot of New Zealanders will be fearful hearing these numbers. They are big numbers. They're scary numbers. What's your advice to people in terms of living their daily lives and what they should do over the next 2 or 3 weeks to a month?
Yeah, don't forget one of the other measures has been to cancel 100,000 inpatient procedures, so traffic lights, alert levels, lockdowns, and then cancelling inpatient procedures. My advice to people is, this is modelling, it has a lot of variance. I mean, the figure of 2,970 who might be hospitalised, the confidence interval goes from 120 to 9,000, for goodness sake, so it's quite wide, so it is just modelling, firstly. Secondly, we can only control what we can control. And what we're asking citizens to control is to control their social distancing, to control their mask wearing, to control their hand washing, to control sneeze etiquette, to be vaccinated, to get the booster. Those are the levers that individual New Zealanders have that can make a change and will make a change to the modelling. In fact, the modelling takes into account mask wearing, and it does show reductions in both hospitalisation and ICU hospitalisation with just mask wearing. Those are the things that we're asking New Zealanders to do.
Dr. Shane Reti, National Party's health spokesperson, thank you very much for your time this morning. Appreciate that.